Good morning. Welcome to worship, the worship of God at Calvary United Methodist Church, where everyone is a friend and a neighbor, and there are no strangers who walk through these doors. We're all a part of the family of God. Thank you so much for being here today. I am pleased to see everyone here, and it's the first Sunday in Advent. And if you don't know what that means, the Advent season are the four Sundays before Christmas, and Advent means coming. And during Advent, we celebrate the coming of God into human form, the incarnation in the birth of Jesus. And the Christmas season doesn't actually begin until Christmas Eve. That's when Christmas begins. We're in Advent. And shortly, for our opening words, we're going to have the Bryant family come and light the first Advent candle in preparation for finally, we light a candle every Sunday, an additional candle every Sunday, until on Christmas Eve we light the white candle, which is the Christ candle, to signify the light of Christ has come into the world. Let's turn to our neighbor and greet one another with the peace of Christ. Will you do that?
Amazing. Yeah, I come out of the closet and look what happens. Stand up here. Wow. Okay, salty service. These are in your pews. This is for any event you want outside the church to show Christ's love through helping someone in some way. Just take these and drop them in the offering plate so that we can have a record of the salty service that we've done throughout the week. Prayer cards are in the pew on the front. Fill out your prayer request and put them in the offering plate. We'll be glad to pray over them on Monday night and on the prayer chain if needed. On the back of the prayer request is your praise report. Please take time to fill these out after you've asked for prayer or you know of a prayer that's been answered. We'd like also to share those and have an opportunity to thank God for the praises that are the miracles that he has worked in our lives. The registration pad is the black notebook in the pews in front of you. Please take time to fill that out with your full name, address, phone number, email, again, so that we can verify that information against the new church directory. Most of you already have received your pledge cards, filled them out, turned them in. But if you have not, we have some available. Do the ushers have these? Okay, they're in the office if you need them. So please make plans to get the pledge card and get that turned in if you have not done so already. Okay, last week we talked about gift cards for the children's home that is still going on, gift cards from Walmart, Target, Best Buy, or any of the places that the children then can get gifts or clothing by using the cards. Much easier than us going out and buying the gifts that we've done in the past and trying to pick the right gifts for the children at the children's home. They now have this opportunity to go out and get gifts that are appropriate for them. Likewise, Betty didn't want it on here, but you can buy the cash cards and give that also. She just don't want you to spend the extra money to buy them. So, but if you wish to do that, you can. Christmas ornaments. If you have any old or slightly used in good shape ornaments that you are no longer going to put on your tree, if you would bring them into the church, we would like to. We are selling them on Fridays at the Christmas tree lot. Do you want to speak? Okay. Because I told you last week we need it on the record. Yes.
I try to follow directions.
And one person listened.
We're going to actually do this on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. Some of you have already brought in ornaments, and we appreciate that very much. There is a sign-up sheet on the bulletin board in the back. The longest we ask that you stay is 2 hours. We will do it after church on Sundays, not during church service. So we'd be very happy to have any of you that feel like you can to sign up for a couple of hours. We'd appreciate it. But we will do it for the next 3 weekends, and we'll see how it goes. Thank you.
All proceeds will be going to the church. Bread of life. Oh, free bread in the kitchen. There is bread that we had given to us. It's in the kitchen. Please take time to walk through the kitchen, pick out what you want, and take it home and have fun. Breaking the bread together. New Year's Eve, candlelight gathering at 11:30 p.m. I had p.m. You're all welcome to come. There will be desserts available starting at 11 o'clock. The worship service, the candlelight service, will begin at 11:30. Make plans to be here for that event. Ron, would you like to make the announcement about that?
We're continuing to collect any donations that you might have for our staff Christmas love offering. We'll take those donations or contributions through next week, through December 7th. So if you have anything that you would like to contribute toward blessing our staff in return for them blessing us with their wonderful work, please do so at your convenience as your heart moves you to. Thanks.
One service on December the 14th at 10:45. This will be the cantata and the youth program. Sunday school will start at 9:30 a.m., but there will not be an 8:15 service. So on December the 14th, we have one service at 10:45. Christmas open house at the parsonage is December the 13th from 2 to 5. Christmas breakfast with Santa, December the 13th, 9 to 11. No, I'm going to be nice and not make jokes this morning. Christmas Eve service at 7 p.m. and 11 p.m. Okay, the Christmas Eve service is two services, one at 7, one at 11. And Betty reminds me, got your banner? You ready? It's fifth Sunday for the children's home. So all the extra offering and so forth that we can bring in for the children's home on fifth Sunday. Is there any other announcements that need to be made? Wait a minute. Okay, thank you. Was something? No, you got it. Okay. Okay, so on the back of your bulletin is giving a Bible study Thursday at 2:30. That is not 2:30, that is 2 o'clock. Okay, I asked Brian to come up now. And
the first Sunday of Advent is peace, and it's based on Isaiah 2, 1 through 5.
Come and gather, O people of God.
And if you'll join us, please, let us gather at the house of the Lord. We await the word who will lead all nations. We await the one who will guide us in peace.
Let us in peace kindle the light of the Lord.
If you'd all stand and turn to page 102 in your hymnal, we'll sing Now Thank We All Our God. Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead and ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Today. Are you starting to get ready for Christmas yet? You're getting a tree on Friday. Okay. Oh, what are some of the things that you do during Christmas that you don't do any other time? What are some of those things that you do at Christmas time? Spend time with family. Well, hopefully we do that all the time, but sometimes it's at special occasions. We like to spend time with family. What else do you do at Christmas? You might be making cookies, okay? Cookies for Santa, okay. Yeah, we don't want to forget about Santa, do we? Decorating your tree, yeah. What else happens during Christmas that doesn't happen at any other? And you receive presents, too. Now, what I want you to think about is that Christmas is not just about what we get at Christmas, but it's about what we give. It's about what we give. And it's about what we give to Jesus. Because what is Christmas Day? Do you know what? Jesus' birthday. That's when he was born. That's his birthday. And so what I want you to think about for the next couple of weeks, we're going to talk about this together, is thinking about what you can give to Jesus, okay? Not just about what you can give to your mom or your dad or your grandparents or what you're going to get underneath the tree, but what you're going to give to Jesus. So I want you to think about that long and hard, and we'll talk about it again next week. And so try to come up with something about what you're going to give to Jesus this year, okay? We want to remember that it's Jesus' birthday. Let's bow our heads and have a prayer. We thank you, God, for such a precious gift that you give us. Help us to unwrap this gift every single day of our lives, that it may be an inspiration to us to be your people. We thank you for these children and their families, and may they continue to grow in your grace and favor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay. Ushers, please come forward for the presentation of our tithes and offerings. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for the gift of Jesus at this time of year, and help us to remember that Christmas is a little bit every day, that we celebrate your love for us, that you loved us so much, you gave us your Son. And let this be a time, oh God, when we give of ourselves to you rather than just to each other, but also to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts.
Praise Father, Son, and Holy.
We call ourselves Jamie and the Altar Boys.
Well, that should inspire us. That should definitely inspire us to have a closer experience of God. We lean on God's everlasting arm. So I want you to shut out everything else right now. The noise outside of the sanctuary. And just breathe a couple of deep breaths. And listen today for God's voice. And in these moments of silence, let God in to you, to your life. And hear what God wants of you. And in prayer, lift up the name of someone or a place in the world or situation in life that you feel needs God's healing touch today. But also name silently in your hearts or out loud a praise that you would like to lift up and give it to God.
Sam Sims. The unrest in Ferguson, Missouri.
We come to you in prayer, O God. We recognize that your reign is always coming, sometimes slipping into our lives as quietly as a thief, burdening our comfortable self-interest, and even though we know we should be watching, we miss it too easily, often. When we set our hearts to see, our eyes to search, begin to recognize the signs, the unexpected evidence of your glory in our ordinary, everyday life. So we praise you today for the reign of God that constantly breaks into the world of women and men, that always opens us to the new, the possible, the yes. We praise you for the capacity to watch, to see it coming, to recognize its advent. Bow before our Lord for his precious gift. In his name we pray, and using his word, Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be, forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory.
If you'd stand and look to the screen behind me.
Chapter 1, verses 26 through 38, and an additional verse in Isaiah 7:14. Birth of Jesus is foretold. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Came to her and said, "Greeting, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by this words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. And now, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this in the sixth month for her, who was said to be barren. For nothing is impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. Continuing to Isaiah 7, verse 14. "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Blessed be God.
What do you suppose God looks like? All of us have an image of God that we carry around in our minds. And, of course, artists have given a shot at giving us a physical picture of what God is in many, many different ways. We have a lot of images of Jesus just around this church. And we all have our own private mental picture of what Jesus looks like. Centuries before Jesus' birth, the prophets spoke of the Messiah as this: "Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." In Isaiah 54, we are told that the Messiah would also know suffering and rejection. And Isaiah 61 tells us that his mission would be to the poor and the marginalized. Still, what this Messiah would actually look like and what his mission would be were diverse and contradictory. One of the reasons why many people didn't recognize Jesus when he did come, because there were so many different thoughts of what he looked like. So I ask you again, what is your mental picture? What do you think about? What image comes to your mind when you're praying to God? Is God a critical, condemning judge, or is he a merciful and loving parent? Does God favor some people over others, or does God love every person the same? Like I said, Jesus wasn't what most folks expected when he did come. Everything about Jesus' life stood in stark contrast to what the world expected from a Messiah. He arrived on the scene not in great strength, but vulnerable and weak, a helpless infant. He was not born with a silver spoon in his mouth, but in a cave for animals. A Palestinian Jew who grew up in a community of marginalized and oppressed people. As a matter of fact, Jesus spent his early years of life as a refugee in Africa, running from political genocide when King Herod decides to kill all the children. And then growing up in Nazareth, he was in a little village as a member of a working class family. They didn't have very much. When Jesus got older, he resisted the world's obsession with wealth and power, and instead he identified with the weak and the powerless, the widows and the orphans, the tax collectors, the prostitutes, and the lepers. He didn't condemn sinners, but he defended and forgave and healed and saved the sinner. So when you picture God, picture Jesus, because that's what God looks like in human form. All of those things makes up God. He is Emmanuel. Jesus is Emmanuel, which means God with us. Jesus, we see not only the face of God, but also the fullness of his humanity. We also see who you and I were created to be. Jesus is God. That's the best news there ever was and ever will be, is that God came to us in Jesus. Now, it's been said that we often view Jesus like Santa Claus, a genie in a bottle here to fulfill three wishes. And to receive these wishes, we've heard also that all we need to do is name it and claim it and believe it and receive it, and then all our wishes will come true. We tend to create this Santa Claus Jesus in our own image, like a golden calf Messiah who promises to fulfill our every whim and an idol who supports our quest for material wealth outside of a relationship with God. Many of us even have a savior who roots for our favorite football team. And I hear not because it's probably true. Now, think sometimes it's God's plot. Worship, we say, he's you when you're sleeping. He knows you've been bad, good. But Jesus is not like some mythical watchdog who judges our niceness or naughtiness and gives out reward and punishments accordingly. That's not Jesus. Jesus is not Santa Claus. Not bearing gifts, coming down the chimney for good boys and girls. Faith and values. If our picture of God is distorted, then our perspective on life will be skewed as well. Now, please don't think I'm a Scrooge, because I'm not. But this magical American commercialized Christmas experience is unattainable. Every year, we try to create a Christmas that is perfect. We stress ourselves out and go into debt to create warm and fuzzy feelings for our families and ourselves, but it's a feeling that doesn't last. And shortly after Christmas is over, we're done with that feeling for the rest of the year. The real meaning of Christmas gets lost in the clutter of shopping and spending and debt and making preparations, which I know all about since I'm having a Christmas open house, and building stacks of gifts that most of us don't need or will ever even use. Could it be that in the chaos of the holiday season, we sometimes miss the true gift of Emmanuel, God with us? Because Christmas is about a miracle. Don't let the world edge the miracle worker out of his own birthday. In other words, miracle, the dictionary definition of miracle, is a visible interruption of the laws of nature, understood only by divine intervention, often accompanied by a miracle worker. A miracle, then, is a unique event in the world that God does through people like you and me. Did you know that? Did you know that you could be God's miracle worker? God wants to birth a miracle through you. But if you don't feel qualified, don't sweat it, because all God needs is your availability and commitment to act. Think about it. Mary was just an ordinary young girl, but God births miracles through ordinary people. And I don't know about you, but I can certainly relate to being ordinary. And we see throughout the scripture that God chose ordinary, seemingly unqualified people through whom to do miracles. The ineloquent, Moses. The youngest child, David. And the barren, Elizabeth, who gives birth to John the Baptist. And of course, there is Mary. Mary herself came from a very common family. She wasn't married and didn't have a formal education. She was not a religious leader. She's not whom we would think could pass any test to be God's miracle worker. But yet God chose her. And there are others that we could name through whom God works. Think of Mother Teresa, for example. Nothing about who she was could be considered beautiful, powerful, and yet chose this Albanian woman to be one of the most powerful representations of Jesus and the resurrection that this world has ever seen. In the same way, Jesus comes to ordinary folks, just regular Joes, you and me, in order to use us for God's purposes. But we must be willing to be used. Now, grace may be free, but it is never cheap. I don't want to be about sacrifice during Christmas. Sacrifice. But I want you to know that the sacrifice of Jesus is never far away. We use red and green. The green, of course, represents the evergreen, the eternal faith. But what does red represent, friends? The blood of Jesus. It represents his blood. The message of Christmas is about sacrificial gift. It's exciting to witness a newborn baby wrapped in a manger of straw. It's heartwarming. But the cradle comes with a cost. And you cannot separate the cradle from the cross. The cross is the center of the Christian message, even during the holy jolly season of Christmas. Can you imagine just that cross for Mary's mother? He sacrificed. Is this what it means to sacrifice? He sacrificed. Not only to die for us, but also show us how to live sacrificially and truly live. The idea of sacrifice. She was a womb for us to be the conduit for a miracle of God. Forget for God's kingdom cannot be prepared. The Bible clearly teaches us that in order for our lives to be meaningful, we need to give them away. Meaning is not found in personal comfort or the number of luxuries. So you surprise. Meaning is not found in mindless sitting, eating, and stress. And boy, those words are for me too. We find meaning we give sacrificially to those in need and for the spreading of the gospel to those who live in darkness. And because by doing so, we are giving to Jesus, and it is his birthday, after all. I want us to think through this Advent season about what we can give to Jesus this year. And I mean seriously. Who wants to give Jesus for Christmas? What can we give church principles? The book of miracles I want to be in your life and in my life.
If you'd stand and turn to page 211 in your hymnals, we'll sing, O Come, O Emmanuel.
Thank you.
about giving. But usually we're talking about giving to each other. So it's inextricably linked. We're going to get. But this year, I want to think on that, what we can give. And in the next few weeks, we will be looking up a series of Advent study, Christmas on birthday, and talk about ways in which we can give to Jesus. What does that mean? When we want to give to Jesus, we'll talk about how we can do that as individuals and as a congregation. And now I ask for God's blessing upon you as we go in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. May you rest alive with you now and always. And so when you begin, go in this peace. Amen.